It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is reporting that University of Pittsburgh head football coach Paul Chryst is set to become the new coach of the Wisconsin Badgers football team. When Chryst was hired in 2011 to replace Todd Graham, he became Pitt's fourth head football coach in 13 months. And now, just 3 years later, the Panthers are again looking for a new head football coach. I'm joined now by phone from State College, Pennsylvania, by John Affleck, Knight Chair in Sports Journalism and Society at Penn State. Good day, John.
Good morning, Paul.
So what do you make of the news regarding Paul Chryst?
Well, it was just sort of an unfortunate occurrence for Pittsburgh. Chryst just happens to really be tailor-made for the Wisconsin job. He played in Wisconsin. He's from Madison, and he was a longtime assistant there. They looked at him before when Gary Anderson was hired at Wisconsin, but he'd only been at Pitt for a year at that point. And so they bypassed him, but this time it was just too much. So Pitt's left in this tough situation of looking for a coach again.
And Paul Chryst wasn't necessarily looking to leave, but was it and I don't know that anyone was anticipating that Gary Anderson would take the job as he did at Oregon State, which kind of set this whole line of dominoes in motion. So was it for Paul Chryst a case where this is the second time that the Wisconsin job has come around and it was probably just too hard for him to say no? And none of this has been confirmed yet, but it basically is a matter of time, right?
Right. My understanding is that Wisconsin can't actually make the hire until Wednesday of next week. But in addition to Milwaukee, ESPN is now reporting that sources close to the deal are telling them that that it's pretty much done. And yes, I think that while Chryst certainly wasn't shopping to get out of Pittsburgh, this is just sort of his obvious destination job. It's his obvious landing point.
Why does Pitt seem to have this revolving door when it comes to football coaches?
Well, it seems to me that Wonstadt was a guy, David Wonstadt, who was a coach a couple of coaches ago and had NFL experience, was a Pitt guy, was doing pretty well. I think 32-19 was his overall record. But Pitt's a place with a great football tradition, and it just wasn't getting to the level that the Panthers really want to be at. So they parted ways with Wonstadt. Graham comes along. He's a good coach, but then he jumped to Arizona State, where he's where he had them in the national title conversation late in the season here, and so that didn't work out. And now it's Chryst. And so the danger for a program like Pittsburgh, actually a danger for a program like Penn State as well, is when you wind up with a churn at the head coaching position, it's hard to build momentum around a program. And when you're recruiting, when you're out there, tradition's great, but it only goes so far. And in a world where the college football landscape is ever more competitive and ever more tilted to the south, northern schools like a Pittsburgh, like a Penn State, really need that continuity to gain momentum and to build the program.
So where do you think Pitt will turn for its next head football coach?
Well, I don't have any inside information, but a couple of the names that have popped up have been intriguing to me. There's Terrell Austin, who's a defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions in the NFL and has a long career as an assistant. And he's a Pitt guy. He played there in the 1970s. So he might be an interesting commodity, although I don't believe he's ever had a head coaching job, certainly not at the top level of college football. A name I find really intriguing is Tom Bradley. Tom Bradley was the former defensive coordinator for Penn State, and his name often came up when you were talking about a successor to Joe Paterno. But he wound up sort of collateral damage in the Sandusky scandal among the coaches who were sort of pushed out at that time. He was sort of exiled to TV and broadcasting for a couple of years, But this past season, he was an assistant at West Virginia. And West Virginia has a 7-5 record, but they beat Baylor, their only loss of the year, and they almost beat TCU. And Bradley's from Western PA. He's from Johnstown. He's a member of the Western PA Sports Hall of Fame already. It would be hard to think of somebody who knows more about Pittsburgh and the Western PA environs, but wasn't a Pitt graduate. So, I think that that's a name that's going to cause some interest in the coming days.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with John Affleck. He is night chair in sports journalism and society at Penn State. And John, originally we had you scheduled to be on the program to talk about some of the changes that are happening at the National Football League level as far as adopting 6-game suspensions for domestic or sexual violence and other crimes. Of course, that is something that has plagued the NFL this year, the stories, the Ray Rice story, et cetera. What has brought about these particular changes?
Well, one thing that I always say in my role thinking about sports and society is that when it comes to societal change in sports, money and image often drives what happens. And I think that you can definitely make a case for that in this situation. Roger Goodell has now set himself up, the NFL commissioner has set himself up, not so much as jury in discipline cases, but he's still definitely the judge. The NFL made some changes where they are going to hand out harsher penalties immediately for discipline cases in areas like domestic abuse, child abuse, and a special official of the NFL will now be charged with handling those cases, though Goodell will now still have the final say in an appeal situation. So that's the change they made. The big change is this automatic 6 weeks for various offenses. The NFL got into a ton of trouble with the Ray Rice situation because they essentially punished him twice. He initially was just given a 2-game suspension for hitting his fiance in an elevator in Atlantic City. But then when the video came out and public outrage just went through the roof, the NFL backtracked, gave him an indefinite suspension. They've now reinstated him. But it looked very much from the outside like the NFL was reacting to something that they basically already had the information about.
Now, the players' union has to go along with these changes that the owners voted unanimously to make, adopting 6-game suspensions for domestic or sexual violence and other crimes. Will the union, will the players go along with this?
The players are very unhappy with this, and the reason is that they feel like it's something that needs to be in the contract, and the NFL labor agreement goes on for several more years. And the players feel like the NFL did this unilaterally. Once again, in their eyes, it's the NFL basically acting in an imperious sort of manner and acting like they are the arbiters of what's good and right in the world, where the players feel like it should be more of a partnership. Now, this doesn't mean that the players approve of child abuse or approve of domestic violence, but they do want a fair hearing for anyone who is accused of these sorts of issues.
What does this mean? What does this policy mean for players like, say, for example, the Steelers' star running back, Le'Veon Bell? He was busted for marijuana possession earlier this year. So does this fall under the umbrella of crimes that would make him eligible to be suspended for?
I believe that that the drug policy remains at 4 weeks for as a minimum for drug offenses, but that's an interesting question. And the personal conduct policy is a little bit fluid, so that's something that's going to have to be ironed out. And then, when it comes to drugs, we wind up in a little bit of a crazy situation now, as marijuana is legalized in certain places and states. So,
right.
You know, if a Bronco gets busted for marijuana possession,
a Denver
is that
Bronco.
Different?
A Denver Bronco.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Or a Seattle Seahawk in Washington State.
Well, and how do you suppose they will deal with that? I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. If you know, the NFL sort of stays true to its nature, I think that they'll ignore those laws and say, well, look, you know, we're a private organization. It's a privilege, not a right to be an NFL player. And, you know, we'll set our own rules.
We have about a minute or so left with you, John. Before we let you go, Division I college football has its first ever four-team playoff selections. Did they get it right?
I think so. If you live in the state of Texas, you are probably still up in arms about Baylor and TCU being leapfrogged by Ohio State. But Ohio State really came on as the year went on. Won the Big Ten championship over Wisconsin 59-0 with its third string quarterback. And it's just really hard to believe with how accomplished Urban Meyer is as a head coach that the Buckeyes couldn't have beaten Baylor and TCU, or, you know, if those teams played 10 games, the Buckeyes wouldn't come out on top in the end. So I think people are mostly happy with the way the playoff worked out.
John Affleck is Knight Chair in Sports Journalism and Society at Penn State. John, great thanks.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Coming up, CMU health law professor Gary Kaplan on how Pennsylvania's implementation of the Affordable Care Act could change under the Wolf administration. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.